What's this deal about meat offering to idols? And we've mentioned it before. So historically, in pagan cultures, people offered animals. You know, they would come to their pagan temple and offer a lamb or a cow to an idol. And this offering would be dedicated to the god. The priest would take a portion, and a portion may be burnt or offered to the idol. And the rest would be sold, and the money supported the temple, the pagan temple. So obviously the question has arisen. Should a Christian buy and eat meat offered to Jupiter, Saturn, Venus, Diana, Zeus? Pick one. I mean, they had gods for everything. So what saith the scripture? Well, the Bible says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple." Because the issue here is knowledge. We have knowledge. And it's interesting because there's actually two passages, one in Psalms 115 and the other in Psalms 135. And they pretty much define the same thing. They pretty much say the same thing word for word. And this is what they said. "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them." Okay. Is there any doubt that these idols, they don't really matter for much? I mean, they're wood, they're stone, they're something a man made. One of my favorite stories is when the Philistines took the ark and thought, "Yes, we've got the ark now," much like the Third Reich and Raiders of the Lost Ark, which I never quite grasped that. So they take this ark and they put it in their temple, and Dagon, their made god, the next day they come in and it's like, it's fallen down face first before this idol. And, you know, I think weird things. I think, you know, I know we think of God in human terms, but I think God's in heaven and go, "Hey, you guys, watch this." You know. So what do they do? Well, they come, well, they prop their god back up. Well, then the next night they come in, his legs are gone. He's back on his face before God. This is how God feels about idols. But I'm weird, I know. But here's what the Word of God says about knowledge. We have knowledge, not by ourselves, but by the Word of God. The Word of God, as we saw in Psalms, gives us light. Look in Proverbs 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. This is the very first chapter. "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and the dark saying, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction." And yesterday when I was reading Proverbs chapter 1, I saw these verses too, 20 through 23 and then 29. "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of the concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. And then verse 29, in a continuation of that theme, says, "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Interesting. And then we go right from Proverbs 1 to Proverbs 2. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." That would be his word. His word gives it to you. You got to dig. You know, it's not laying on the ground. You got to kind of dig in there and find it. And it, God says, it's yours to have. And I got to looking at this word knowledge and just seeing what a few of the passages in the New Testament, we could spend a lot of time going through what the Word of God has to say about knowledge. But in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, Paul starts out his letter saying, I'm praying for you guys in Ephesus. I'm praying for the church. And this is what he says to the church. "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Man, that verse 17, "that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened." And then again, later in the book of Ephesians, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he might grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Man, what a passage. What a prayer. This is what Paul is trying to communicate to the church, not only in Ephesus, but right here in this room. You don't have to do it on your own. God will give you the strength if we can just submit to it. I like what Paul says. Now, in Philippians 3, Paul's giving his lineage. You know, I was born of the tribe of Benjamin, which, you know, Paul's name originally was Saul. And I can't help but think he was named after probably the most popular Jewish Benjaminite ever born, and that would be King Saul in the Old Testament. So, and it didn't end well for him either. But anyway, so Paul is born and named after King Saul. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, knew all about the law, knew all about this, and he, you know what he said? Yea, doubtless, I count all things, all my accomplishments, my lineage, my education, my religion, loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, which is okay because I count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Wow. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it in the book of Colossians. Again, this is Paul's opening remarks in the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 1. Since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. You know, we should all be praying for each other. We should all be praying for our church. Oh, what should I pray? How about this? How about, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of Him, His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience with joyfulness. And if you notice, this knowledge of God, it's never stand alone. In Proverbs, you know, you've got knowledge, but you've got wisdom and understanding. And those always go together. Because knowing something is one thing. Having the wisdom of how that applies to you gives you the understanding of how you can use this. And that's what Paul is praying, that you know, not just to be have the knowledge of God, but to be strengthened by it. And according to not your ability, but His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. And, you know, since we've spoken a lot about marriage, well, let me see. I got one more verse here. With the knowledge comes a warning. And in 2 Timothy 3, see if this applies to anything you see going on in our world today. The 5:30 news, for example. Israel, politics. First century, 2 Timothy 3:1. For this know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come, and are here. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. They're religious, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and leave captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So this is, man, the warning of knowledge. It's not coming to these guys, and never will. And here's another little application, because, you know, the last couple of weeks in chapter 7, we've had a lot to say about our relationships, the husband and wife relationship, man and woman relationship. Well, how about this one, 1 Peter? Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, I've got a book called The Language of the King James Bible, and the English language is a very rich language, and the way it is used, the mechanics of it, the syntax of it, and all that. And I love a verse like this because it displays that. So, husbands, we have to deal with our wives according to knowledge. Duck. No, I'm sorry. And here's how we do that. You give honor to the wife. You give honor to the wife. As. They're similes and metaphors. And if you've been through discipleship, two of the most important words in your Bible are like and as. Like and as. And it's, we kind of go over, if you say somebody runs like a deer, that doesn't mean they're running on all fours with their tail up in the air, okay? It means they're just a fat, or runs like a rabbit. You're not, it's a simile or a metaphor. And when this phrase is interjected in there, it says, as unto the weaker vessel. It doesn't say she is a weaker vessel. It says, that's the honor that I am to give my wife. In a lot of ways, my wife's stronger than me in a lot of different things. And I heard an illustration like you wouldn't take a valuable piece of art or something of great value, like a guitar. You wouldn't toss it in the back of a pickup truck. I mean, you'd put it in a case. You'd take care of it because, man, it's of great value. That's the honor that he's talking about, because you're both heirs together of the grace of life. And here's the kicker: that your prayers be not hindered. Wow. So if I don't honor my wife, when I'm praying, God's going, yeah, I hear you, but I ain't hearing you. That's kind of a crazy thing. But it has to do with knowledge. Knowledge. You know what knowledge is? It's the reality. Men and women aren't the same. We're just not. I'm a matter of fact, person. My wife's a nurturer. And that's how you come together on your children. That's just it's the way God made us. But we have to give honor according to the knowledge. Give honor to our wives. Treat her as a thing of value, because we are heirs together. There's no degree, the one or the other, that our prayers be not hindered. And we've talked about the fact that in the Word of God, in Proverbs, it's always, knowledge is always combined with wisdom and understanding. It's not a standalone thing. Well, look at what it says in 2 Peter, because here is I call this a spiritual thermometer. You can stick in your mouth and take your temp. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence, Add to your faith. That's what it took for your salvation. Add to your faith virtue. And then add to your virtue knowledge. And then add to your knowledge temperance. And add to temperance patience. And to patience godliness. And to godliness brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So it's interesting that when you come to Christ and you put your faith in him, you have to learn virtue. You have to learn, I can't be living like this anymore. No, and no one has to tell you. If you're in discipleship one, or if you're in the Word of God, I remember and I mentioned George Grace. George Grace was studying to be a Catholic priest, and got saved biblically. And in George's testimony, he used to say, "I would read my Bible and drink a beer." And he said, one day I just went, "Why am I doing this?" No one said, "Dude, you can't drink beer. You shouldn't be drinking. What does it matter?" He said, I didn't. I haven't drank a beer since. That's virtue. And to the virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. Again, check that thermometer. Where are we at? Well, I got knowledge, but I'm having a hard time with temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. Which is a composite word, God-likeness. We are to be Christ-like. And I'm having a hard time loving and forgiving others the way God does. Well, go back to patience. Work on that one for a while. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. That's what we need. That's what churches need. You know, the Church of Corinth, they got a lot of division. You know why? Because they don't have godliness and they don't have brotherly kindness. Everything's a competition. Everybody wants their name. Everybody wants the applause. And to brotherly kindness, charity. You know what charity is? And, you know, all the new Bibles change that to love. Love is not charity, and charity is not love. Charity is what we give people that don't deserve it. Charity is like, we're not getting SNAP benefits now, so you got to have a box of food so you can feed your family. Okay, that's something given that no one can pay you for. And that's what love is. That's what God's love is to us, and that's what we should reflect to others. If these things be in you and abound, not just in you, but abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that knowledge has a purpose. It's not just learning. It's not just accumulating facts. But if you lack these things, you're blind. You not only can't see where you're going, where you're from, but you can't see where you're going. You can't see forward, and you've forgotten that you were purged from your sins. Now, this is how, interestingly enough, after the Holy Spirit, through the human author Peter, writes this, here's how the book of 2 Peter ends. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Grow. We've got to grow. You know, it's not like, well, I read that once. I know that. No, it's this book is a living book. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us in John 1. I can't explain that. I can read one verse and come back a month later and read it, and somebody rewrote it or reworded it, or it's alive. And it accomplishes something. And here's a big clue about your Bible. Romans 1:20 says the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So God says, look, I'm going to show you pictures of spiritual things in the physical things. And in 1 John chapter 2, he talks about little children. He talks about fathers. He talks about young men. He talks about, you know, growth. And, you know, if you're... I was reading this morning in Matthew, and the disciple said, hey, Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom? Which one of us is going to be the greatest? And Jesus came and set a little child in their midst, and he said, this is the greatest right here. This is how you come to God. And you know what's interesting about that? We have pre-adolescent grandkids, and man, they love to read. You know, Penelope's in kindergarten now. We see her, man, she's showing us what she's learning. I mean, she's just taking it in. And that's, you know, man, a person comes to Christ, they're going through D1, they're reading their Bible for the first time, they're just like, man, this is a wow, you know. And then something happens. It's called the teenage years. And when you're 13 to 18, you know it all. You know it all. And that's not just true physically, that's true spiritually. And I understand that because, you know, I grew up in a church, and it was a good church, but it didn't teach a lot of Bible doctrine. And man, when I first came to Baptist Temple and somebody started teaching me the Word of God and laying it out, how it was put together, and just, you know, again, Brian and I grew up under the same pastor, and just the way the Word, oh my gosh, you know what? I'm an expert now, boys. And I couldn't wait, man, I was talking to my mom and dad once about the Word of God, my poor mom's crying, because I'm telling them how it is. I'm an idiot. That's what I am. I'm a teenage idiot. Spiritually. Because I think I know it all. And I'm proving that I don't. but, you know, this is what life is like. Physically and spiritually. And then, you know, as you become an adult, your entire life is learning, only to realize how much you don't know.
Amen.
And that's a spiritual view of a physical view. And here's the thing. There is a time and a place to deal with bad doctrine. And you know, Anita grew up Pentecostal, and when we were dating, she'd come to church with me Sunday morning, I'd go to her church Sunday night. And yes, I made fun of because, you know, and that's not always bad. That's not always bad, because in 1 Kings chapter 18, you've got Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And they're up on Mount Carmel, and okay, showdown. Whose God is God? You guys go first. And they built their altar, and they put their bullock or whatever they put on the altar. And it says this is the account. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. All day they did this for no result. Then Elijah gets up there and says, "Pour some water on my altar. Yeah, pour some more on it. Yeah, pour, until the ditch was in." And then, you know, Elijah said, "Okay, God." Even licked up the water. Well, that's not justifying making fun of what people believe, but I just like that story. But here's where we're at. You know, we're only going to get through the first couple of verses of this chapter this morning. But the Word of God gives us the proper technique in 1 Corinthians 8. Because as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. These are, they're pieces of stone or wood. And our knowledge puffeth us up. But charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, if you think you have a right to go in and go, hey, you dummies, praying to these idols, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Verse 3. If any man love God, the same is known of him. If any man love God. 1 Corinthians 13, we all know it as the love chapter. First three verses. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, not love, charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Tongues of men or angels. Ding, 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 ding. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, and looky here, all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity is what edifieth. And in the words of Jesus in Matthew 22, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And wow, this next little verse. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All means all. Loving God and then loving your neighbor. And it's interesting because it says as thyself. I kind of like myself. You know, when I'm hungry, I feed myself. And when I'm stinky, I wash myself. And when I'm tired, I put myself down. You know, I kind of like to take care of myself. I'm kind of a big priority to me. That's how he says you should love a neighbor. And it doesn't say if they're good neighbors. There's no conditions. Because Jesus didn't have any conditions loving us. Same type thing in Mark. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these. Wow. So the goal of Colossians chapter 1, again, back in Paul's opening remarks to the church of Colossae, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit, the church at Colossae. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, and unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. The Word of God does the work of God. And it's one thing to have the knowledge and to be puffed up, but it's another thing to have that tempered with charity, with the Word of God, and being Christ-like, and loving God first, and then loving your neighbors as yourself. And you know, I knew a pastor once who said that he reads the Word of God for maintenance. In other words, yeah, I got all this down. I got all this knowledge down. I just read it, just kind of stay brushed up on it. Man, I hope I never get to that point. I need this book every day. It's like I said, it's a living book. It's alive. It contains the unsearchable riches of Christ. In Ephesians, unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. In Colossians, in whom, Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We read that earlier. And then a little piece of advice here. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Oh, you think you got this down? Careful there. Verses 2 and 3, and if any man think that he knoweth anything, man, same verse here in 1 Corinthians 10. Wherefore let him that thinketh, man, don't think you got anything figured out. You're setting yourself up, boy. You're setting yourself up. Take heed. Lest ye fall. Look at Romans 12:3. And Romans 12:1-2 talks about us, you know, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, being transformed. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Okay, we got to put on humility. And let me close with this, because this is important. One of our bedrock verses here. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I mean, how many of us have that memorized? How many have that verse committed to memory? Okay. This is how we usually read it. Study to show everybody else that needs to know what I have to say. It's not what it says. This book is for you to study to show yourself. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. It's for you. It's personal. And in the same book, 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. Again, this is a personal application. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable to straighten out other people's doctrine, to reprove other people, to correct other people, to instruct other people. No, that the man of God, you, me, this book is for me to have my doctrine right, for it to reprove me, for it to correct me, for it to instruct me in righteousness, that I can be perfect throughly from the inside out, furnished unto all good works. This verse here, these two verses, are the anti-type of knowledge puffeth up. Because knowledge puffeth up, has an external connotation. I'm going to set somebody straight by my knowledge. And we're going to get into that. You know, these guys are eating meat offered to these dead idols. Okay, who are we trying to straighten out here? Straighten yourself out. And the conclusion is this. Hold fast the form of sound words which ye have heard in me, and faith and love in Christ Jesus. And with that, let's pray and head into service. Lord, thank you for your love for us, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to reflect that same charity that you give to us, Lord. Lord, help us to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord. Help us to take your knowledge and add wisdom and understanding to it, Lord, and use it, Lord, for your glory and not for our own. Lord, just help us to be more like you through a relationship with you, through your word and your spirit. And I pray now that you'd go with us into the service. Let Brian preach the word of God to us, Lord, and let our hearts be open and receptive to it. And we thank you for that and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, if I could have you, Terry, just for a moment. It won't take me but a second here. As you guys know, I was going to do this last, if you don't know this, the last guy was going to announce this, but I didn't. We waited until people showed up, and then, because nobody was here at the beginning, I would say nobody, a few of us were here, and then I waited until the end, and it was kind of too late because somebody left. So today's a good group of folks. I want to officially announce, which won't surprise you all probably, that David and Anita are officially going to